this is going to be the week where it just happens. I'm going to go one take and it's just going to be right from the jump because that's just how it is.
When do you think the week that we can do it normally will come?
Like right now. Ready?
I don't believe it.
I'm going to prove it right now. Hang on. What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. I'm your news design editor, Kabir Kansara, and I'm here with
Jaden Lovelady, the opinion editor.
And in today's episode, we're going to be going over volume 117, issue number 5 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. In today's episode, we're going to be going over a story about the vice president of enrollment position, a lifestyle story about sex on the lawn, an opinion piece about political awareness, as well as a recap about women's basketball and baseball series against Stanford. Stay tuned, Titans.
All right, guys, to start us off today, we're going to be talking about news with Ms. Editor-in-Chief Emily Wilson, and we're going to be talking about
Vice President of Enrollment.
No
freaking Specifically, way. The inaugural Vice President of Strategic Enrollment Management at Cal State Fullerton.
Can you explain what that means to the people?
Right. So there are 6 vice presidents, or at least there should be 6 vice presidents on campus right now. They, in part, make up the president's cabinet under President Ronald Rashan. They all lead divisions. They're like the top dogs at the school.
Yeah. Aren't 5 out of 6 of them like interim right now,
too? Yes, currently. There are still, this will be the 6th vice president search going on simultaneously. So it will be a
busy semester
for, you know, the faculty and the staff and the students that are serving on those committees.
Right.
But yeah, this position, it will, according to Sue Swarat, who is the senior associate vice president for institutional effectiveness and planning, very long title.
Wow. That was impressive. Honestly, yes, you got that on the first try.
Yes.
Her LinkedIn must go crazy.
It must go crazy. And she is also serving as the chair of the search committee. Mm. She said that the position will lead the university's efforts to, develop and deliver a wide array of strategies and programs to broaden access for diverse student populations, strengthen efforts to recruit and retain traditional and non-traditional students, and ensure all students have a smooth experience throughout their higher education journey. So it seems to me that they are focusing on enrollment, recruiting students, right, retaining students, but it seems that this position will also help manage people's position, or like students right now, mm-hmm, to make sure that students who are coming to Cal State Fullerton get the experience that they're signing up for.
Okay. Wow.
But it's been a while since a new vice presidential position has been added. Like, no one really knows. It'll be up to the person they hire to pick and choose any departments or organizational realignment they want. So that'll affect campus a lot. Mm. I read today that they want to have someone in the position by spring. There will be candidates coming to campus in April. Yeah, enrollment is a very kind of hot topic in the CSU.
Yeah. Historically, Cal State Fullerton has over-enrolled typically, right?
For the past 10 years or so, and I'm sure beyond that as well, Fullerton has always enrolled more students than they were projected to enroll from the CSU.
Yeah.
And with the way the CSU system funds campuses is now tied to enrollment more than ever. Originally it was, you know, every student that was enrolled into the CSU, it was the money that was given to the CSU system from the state of California was divided up by proportion, or like proportionate based on the amount of students that attend that school.
So right, like a projected amount.
Yeah. Okay. So however many students, like say Fullerton has 20% of the students at the CSU. That's not right, but say it's 20%. Then they would get 20% of the money.
Okay.
But now they're funding it in a way where the campuses that over-enroll, that meet their enrollment goals and then enroll more, they get proportionally more money.
Okay. So it's like a bonus on top.
It is, but it does take money away from the campuses that don't enroll as much as they should.
This is coming on the heels of the like 8% budget cut. Right?
Yeah, so the 8% budget cut is not set in stone by any means. Mm-hmm. The governor will look at the budget again in May, and it'll be finalized in June. This is the second, or like it's been multiple years in a row where the CSU and in general higher education in California, like the funding has been kind of in question. Last fiscal year, Newsom proposed an 8% cut to all of the government in California. Yeah. And for the most part, that went through. But the CSU negotiated that to be deferred a year to have more time to plan.
Right.
I think, and this is just what I think based on the reporting, is that Rashan, he's the one who had the idea for this position. I think he recognizes how important enrolling is at Cal State Fullerton and in the CSU to get more money. And I think this is a way to kind of prioritize that.
Yeah.
And there are other CSUs that have this position at a vice president level. A lot of them have it at an associate vice president level. So, you know, one kind of rung under. But the Fullerton didn't have anyone else specifically in charge of enrollment. So you could argue, based on how other CSUs, what positions they offered, that this was a need of the university.
Mm. Yeah.
This is also President Rochon's, in my opinion, it's his first big move as president. You know, he hasn't, you know, I think last semester he spent time getting used to campus. I think this is the first thing that I've noticed where this is his kind of prerogative.
Right. Well, it's good. It's like showing off his leadership skills now. Like, you know.
Yeah. This is the interesting part.
Like you said, last semester he was like getting used to campus and kind of like setting up his next moves and stuff. And now we get to see those next moves. So it's going to make for an interesting semester for sure.
Yeah.
He came from a different university. Did they have this position at that university prior to him? Or?
They didn't have it on the cabinets level. They did have, or actually, okay. They didn't have it on the cabinets level. I'm not sure if they had it at a different level. But I will also say the university he used to manage was smaller than Fullerton was, and it also probably wasn't bound by the enrollment numbers in terms of funding as much as Cal State Fullerton and the CSU system is.
Because it's bound sort of by California as a state, since they decide the budget.
Yeah. Newsom and the CSU leaders made a deal a couple years ago where, I mean, in layman's terms, basically Newsom was like, you need to enroll more students, and I'll give you more money.
Okay.
And the CSU agreed to that. So they're really... it's really tied to funding, and I think that's why, if the enrollment isn't where it wants to be, that's why they're incentivizing even more enrollment by giving, essentially, and this is in the words, really, of Alex Porter, who's the vice president of admin and finance. He's the only vice president on campus that is not interim.
Wow.
But he presented to Academic Senate in November, and I was there, just about, like, the budget, state of the CSU, and he, the way he kind of explained it is, like, some CSUs, like, that don't enroll, like, their money that was originally would have gone to them is taken and given to, like, universities who do enroll. So it's kind of like a you're taking more than your share, but the CSU argues that you've earned it. Yeah, and it's been said that Fullerton is like one of the best, if not the best, CSU in enrolling. Like, there have always been consistent growth, consistent over enrolling.
We're the biggest, like, student population.
We are the biggest. So that necessarily shouldn't concern Fullerton to a certain extent, but it is important to kind of, you know, play the game, like, understand how important enrollment is to funding, understand that you have to be funded in order to have a university, things like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned that this is the 6th VP that they're in search of right now.
Mm-hmm.
As for the other 5 positions, do you know when those likely will be filled? If they're aiming for this one in the spring?
So 3 of them, the ones for student affairs, provost, and like this vice president of strategic enrollment management, they've already started hiring. Or they've started the hiring process, which means that they're in some of the stages the applications open. In all 3, I believe, they are going to close them, like the applications in April. And it'll be expected to be filled by the end of the spring semester. For IT, they're just getting to form the... for IT and human resources and diversity and inclusion, they're just starting to form the committees now. So they haven't said anything. I think it will be later. And then the 6th one, university advancement. This is actually interesting because when Sylvia Alvo was president last year, her staff formed a search committee to find a replacement for Kim Shiner, who's the interim director of or vice president of university advancement right now. But when Rochon got to campus, he asked them to put that search on pause. Because he wanted to focus on provost, which is academic affairs, and student affairs. So that's why those searches started last semester and then are, like, getting the ball rolling.
Would you say that those positions are deemed, like, more important than the other positions they're looking for, which is why they're trying to fill them sooner?
They're all important. I think there could be a variety of factors. You know, Amir Dabirian's initial term was 2 years, so he did 2 years this March. So, you know, there is time. I think... they are more important in the sense that, and this is my opinion, but, you know, colleges teach people. Academic affairs education, you know. And student affairs supports, like, our holistic needs, you know.
Yeah.
University advancement is important to the university, but I also understand why Rochon would have wanted to prioritize academic and student affairs.
It definitely seems like more of an imminent thing to deal with, too. Mm-hmm. Like, rather than, like, university development, that's definitely something that happens with time. But, like, you know, student affairs is, like... right now.
Yeah.
Like
I will also say when Alva was president, for the majority of the time she was president, student affairs was Dr. Oseguera, so like a permanent-ish position. Dr. Forges, who currently is the vice president of student affairs on an interim basis, stepped in the role about April. So it wouldn't have been kind of prudent for Alva to be like, yeah, I'm making all these alignments and we're searching for a replacement right now.
Yeah.
You know? Usually interim appointments for vice president positions are about a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I love when we have conversations like this because it's so reflective of how, like, you know, internal communications and, like, standings within a college is so, like reflective of government. Yeah,
it's like it's political, but it's also a business.
Yeah,
but
it's like a microcosm.
Yeah, it's
like
so interesting because it's such a balance of, like, business and also government and also, like, it is a university.
Yeah, and, like, as a journalism student, it's really nice to be able to cover, like, real life things. Yeah. They're actually making decisions and we actually get to cover them, you know?
It is cool.
And that's what's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey Titans! They let me have a turn with AdRead this week, so we're going to be talking about Daily Titan Fest. That's going to be next week on campus, and students will have the opportunity to come meet our sponsors as well as our staff, so come say hi. Stay on the lookout for upcoming information about it by following us on all our social media platforms at The Daily Titan, and check us out at dailytitan.com. Thank you!
Shifting on over to lifestyle, we're going to be talking about an event Titan Health recently hosted called Sex on the Lawn.
They're doing what on the lawn?
No, not actually. They were providing information, education, and some resources for people that were curious about STD prevention and other sexual activity-based knowledge.
No way. Yes. They got me with the name.
Man, they got everybody with the name. A lot of people actually pulled up to the event because they were curious about what the name meant. And that drove a lot of traffic towards the event.
Right.
But
in my opinion, that is like...
It's a baller name.
That is like such a smart marketing
tactic. No, genuinely, like they cooked with that. And they've been doing this for years. This event repeats every year. It's annual.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's expanded over time. And they're also looking in the future to expand it into a week-long event as well. Because right now, or recently, it was just a two-hour-long event. But it featured different resources from on and off campus providing information and education on sex.
Right.
As well as different things like condoms and other, like, resources.
Yeah. I like how the story highlighted, too, that it was targeted, or not targeted, it was geared towards Titans who are and are not sexually active. So it wasn't, like, specifically for, like, a certain audience or, like, you know, like, they covered all the bases.
Yeah,
and
I
think it's, like, putting the effort to make everybody aware and everyone safe on a college campus. Because, like, you know what happens on college campus, guys? Like, I think this is a really good, like... This is a really important part.
It's a very necessary event because a lot of times people get uncomfortable kind of talking about this stuff, which is understandable because it is very personal and private
to
everybody.
It's very taboo, but at the same time, we are adults.
We are adults.
So it's nice and also, have that space.
Even if it's not something you're necessarily comfortable talking about, people should be aware of what's available around them in terms of resources and if they need help with anything.
For sure.
So to have an event like this that highlights where people can go for the help is super important.
Yeah. As well as, like, you know, giving out, like, free condoms and other stuff like that. Like, I mean, I guess now... In this day and age, it is less taboo, but it's nice to see that we're, like, still progressing towards more of an accepting environment for stuff like this on a college campus, because it is, like, really important to have resources like that and for, like you said, like, for students to know what they have available to them.
No, definitely, because the last thing anyone wants to do is end up in a scenario where they don't know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's time for us to get opinionated over here as we move on over to the opinion desk to cover a story on political awareness.
Who wrote this?
That would be me.
What?
I'm so glad you asked. That would be me. Yes.
No way. Guess who read it?
Who?
This guy.
That would be you?
Want to know what I learned?
What did you learn?
That we as students need to take more of an effort to be aware of the politics around us, because the things that we're seeing on the TV and in major headlines from major networks aren't just big stories that are above our heads. They're things that affect us on a day-to-day basis on a very local level.
Whoa. Yeah, like he said, a lot of national headline news can seem very, like, over our heads and very, like, general, but... You know, being residents of SoCal and also just, like, you know, college students, a lot of really big things coming out of, like, you know, the executive branch directly impact us. And, like, a lot of national headline news is becoming extremely extremely local to us. And the two biggest, like, examples of this I make in the article are, like, you know, ICE and, you know, immigration policy changes, as well as DEI initiatives changing and how that's going to look different, like, with the upcoming years in this administration. Do you have any takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, those were two important and, like, super prevalent things to bring up, especially considering, like, where our campus is. Like, we're in Southern California, which is one of the largest, or an area with one of the largest immigrant populations in the country.
Yeah.
So, like, for us, while stories about ICE might seem kind of far off, it's, like, it's not.
As well as, like, you know, this comes hand in hand with the conversation of DEI and, like, the effects it has on our local community as a college and also in SoCal. It's just, it's going to change a lot of things, and it has a lot of collateral damage. My interviews were really great for this story, specifically like Professor Gradilla. He's a Chicano and Chicana studies professor, but he made a really good point on how like Southern California is being bombarded with a lot of like very impactful issues right now, and how it could be, you know, it could be argued that this is a tactical and a strategy that the Republican Party is using as like not distraction necessarily, but it's kind of like
when they throw so many things our way, we can only focus on one at a time.
Yeah, like,
so it allows other things to happen under our nose.
A direct quote that he said in the interview is like, he's making a point of like, it's just like, wow, I have to pick like between getting kicked in the face or kicked in the stomach. Like, which one would I rather prefer? And it's definitely like, that's why it's so important for us to understand the news and like really digest the world around us and how it's reflected in the news. Because as like you said, we're college students, we're the next generation. The mistakes and the progressions that we're making today are going to, like, we're sowing the seeds of our future that we're going to have to clean up or we're going to have to maintain. So it's really important for us specifically to be hyper aware of what's going on and be very, like, educated. And that's, in my opinion, that's the strongest thing you can be in times like this, is educated and informed.
Knowledge is the greatest weapon.
Yeah, and that's why it's just, it's really important. And honestly, like, the call to action to this in layman's terms is just like have the conversations.
Yeah.
Talk about the news, read the news, have the related conversations with your friends, with your peers, with your advisors, everybody. Like, don't shy away from hard conversations because they're hard.
They're hard for a reason.
They're hard for a reason because they serve such an important purpose.
All right, now passing the rock over to our official sports correspondent, Nick Wire. We got Nick in the building to recap women's basketball with us. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
Kabir, actually, I want you to tell me a little bit about just what you saw since you were at the game.
Yeah, so I did attend the game. It was nice to catch a W in person. Yeah. Shout out to the women's team. Pulled that one off. The game was tight. It looked really like close going into like pretty much all the way up until the fourth quarter. Lead, I believe, was single digits up until then.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I saw in the game, Aichel Hernandez was having a game. I saw her pull up for a couple mid-range jumpers. They were clean. I believe it's Yana Fall's daughter. She was efficient off the bench. I mean, what, 18 points in 19 minutes? That's some like high-level production right there. So it was like,
that is crazy.
It was a really good game to watch, and it was also super competitive. Like, Cal State Bakersfield definitely put up some good points. They put up some good shots as well. I know they had a couple falling from behind the arc. They had a couple good drives down the lane as well. So it was nice to see like the women's team really scrap out a good win. Yeah. What did you think as someone that did the analytics for it and stuff like that?
It's big for them. They're only a game and a half out from making the playoffs in conference now.
They're behind Cal Poly SLO?
That's one of the teams they're behind, yeah. That's the team that's in eighth place.
Okay.
So the last spot. And it's just an exciting time. They've won 5 of their last 7 games.
Wow, good streak.
Yeah, and they haven't had a streak like that since the 22-23 season. So
returning to glory.
So, there's a lot of momentum behind the team right now. Someone else that you didn't mention, Aaliyah Stanton. She's sophomore for the team. She had also a team high. She had 18 points.
Yeah.
And she's just been killing it all season.
Yeah.
And then you brought up Yana and I've seen multiple times she's been mentioned as just the spark off the bench for the team.
Yeah,
she's
definitely
great defensively, gets a lot of steals, and she just brings the energy off the bench.
No,
and
definitely.
And that's been a big
thing. She was like almost lights out from behind the arc. I think it was 6 of 7 from the field.
Yeah. A couple more wins. Next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. They have momentum. Maybe they pull off some upsets. That'd be cool. Takeaways usually with that team, especially in this game, they're a good defensive team. And they just play with high energy. Eva Livingston, she's one of the forwards. She played all 40 minutes.
Yeah. This is her second time doing that? Second time this season? Or
I believe so. And that's actually the fourth time she's done it this season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
40
okay.
minutes. And they're just a team that plays with high energy and a lot of defense. So that's something to keep an eye on. And those are the teams usually that typically that can pull off upsets.
No, definitely.
All right, redirecting this conversation to something else exciting that happened over the weekend. It was baseball opening weekend, and I heard that they played 2 back-to-back games against Stanford. Do you want to catch us up on that?
They lost all 4 games that they played Stanford this weekend, including...
You gotta love the consistency. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. They lost one game. They lost their very first game by run rule, which just means the game ended early because Stanford scored a lot of runs and it wasn't close. Right. And they lost their last game in the 10th inning, so it was really close and they just couldn't pull it off.
It seems like they were kind of building their momentum against Stanford like as the series was going onwards.
They started to score runs towards towards the end of the
series. It definitely looks like they're going to like continue to build that momentum and do better in the near future, hopefully.
One could hope so. Offensively, we could think they would. Yeah. They did score a lot of runs.
Stanford is a tough team. I know they have, I forget his name, but they have another athlete
on
there.
The international
player.
So Rintaro Sasaki, that's who you're thinking of.
Yes.
I actually saw a couple of tweets about him. He went pretty viral over this series. So Fullerton was mentioned. And it was because in the second game, he had a bases clearing double off the wall with the bases loaded. And he's just had, he had a great series to open. So that's probably the best, the biggest spectacle that was there this weekend is watching this guy play. And he was really good. So
I mean, that's like, you know, a very worthy competitor. Like, you know.
And Stanford, Stanford has had a historically good baseball team. So
Their next game is Friday. They play against Fresno State. They start a series against Fresno State on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's at Fresno State.
At Fresno State? How many games is that? Three games?
Three game series starting on Friday. Wow. So.
Well, best of luck.
Best of luck for them.
All that.
Sweet. Yeah, I agree.
Nick, you watched the All-Star game?
I did. And I think I'm going to mail it in just like Wemby.
This early?
This early.
This is like record time. Taking notes off Chris Paul or what?
That's right.
Well, then.
I'll see you guys.
All right, someone grab the ref. He might be DQ'd.
All right, guys. It's looking like that's it for us for this week's episode of DT Pod. Be sure to pick up a copy of the Daily Titan on campus or check us out at dailytitan.com to read the articles mentioned and more. Thank you all for listening. And as always, if you like us, we love you.
All right, Titans, don't tune out just yet because you know what time it is. We got to get thankful real quick. So first of all, we got to give a special thank you to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. Our producer, Luis Vizcaino. Another thank you going out to our assistant producers, Raniel Santos and Michelle King. Another big old thank you is going out to Bijan Schuster-Risade for the music that's provided in this episode. And another big old thank you is provided to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in, tapping into what's going on campus. Please stay tuned for next week's episode and pick up a copy of that paper. We'll see you guys. Peace.